We're talking today with Roy Lee Lindsay from the Oklahoma Pork Council. Roy Lee, your Pork Congress underway, and you've got your producers here in town. Obviously, you've got one issue kind of overhanging you right now that I know that there's a lot of concern, a lot of folks looking back at the industry wondering what's going on. That's the disease PEDV, and Oklahoma's had its share.
Yeah, it's as I've talked about kind of leading into this, we didn't have a program, we didn't have an item on the program specifically to talk about PED, but I was certain it was going to be one of the most popular topics. Maybe unpopular is a better way to say that, but one of the most talked about issues that we've got. And we see it in our attendance today. We see producers who, in order to protect the biosecurity of their farms, have just decided they're not going to come and mix and mingle with other producers. It is kind of I feel kind of like Pigpen sometimes from the Peanuts cartoon with that dark cloud following me around everywhere I go. And until we can really get a feel for how to protect our herds, how to prevent the spread of PED, I think you're going to continue to see that. And that's people's, that's the big challenge. And as I talked to producers last night, as I talked to them throughout the day today, the challenge is not just economic, it's emotional. You know, the farmers that have been through this, when you lose 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks worth of every baby pig born on the farm doesn't survive. Mm-hmm. That takes an emotional toll on you. And so when you're thinking about how do I prevent that, it's not just the economic loss that goes with it. There's an emotional toll that goes too. And so to have producers here, some that have been through it already, folks that have seen it on their farm, and what did they experience and what did they learn from it, to have the ability to talk to those who haven't been through it yet and talk to them about here's what you need to be prepared for, here's where you need to go. I mean, ultimately, our hope is that we'll figure out we can prevent the spread of this further. Do we come up with a vaccine or we come up with a better way to deal with the disease, if you will, when you get it? But I think everybody is still gun-shy, probably isn't a big enough word to get you to where they are. So it is the overwhelming. It's not even an elephant in the room because everybody's talking about it. We didn't have to put it on the program to have discussions about it from the very first presentation we had today. I think every presenter we've seen today, with the exception of J.D. Strong from the Water Board, has talked about PED in some form or fashion.
And in the middle of all of that, just a few days ago, you had the HSUS folks obviously trying to weigh in on this issue as well. I got the impression that overall the industry handled that assault fairly well.
Well, at the end of the day, what we're looking for is a way to save baby pigs. And from my perspective, that's our number one goal, is to care for our animals. And today we don't have a vaccine that's approved to use. We don't have a good way to prevent disease. And so looking for methods that help us promote immunity amongst our sows, build up their immune system so they can fight it off and pass that along to baby pigs, that's where we get to. And so I think when you talk to the average American, they may say, yeah, that's kind of an icky process, and I don't really want to think about how you get that immunity. But if you tell them you're trying to save the baby pigs, that really resonates with them. And that's the message that we've got to share. And that's what the American public expects of us, I think, is the consumer expects us to do everything in our power to take as best care possible of all of our pigs, but especially our baby pigs.
When you get past that particular issue, the PEDV, you were talking a great deal about some of the positive things that have gone on within the industry, within Oklahoma, as far as the pork industry goes.
You know, as we look back on the last year, there are some really look into last year as well as look forward. You know, one of the things, and it's sad that you have to say it, but at the same time, you take great pride in it. I go back and look at what we were able to do following the May tornadoes and some of the feeding our communities and communities where we've got pork producers and producers who were impacted or had family that was impacted. And, you know, we go back and we think about spending 5 days cooking and feeding people, and the National Pork Board sending a trailer and with a mobile kitchen essentially on it so we could cook. Our fellow state associations from all across the country pledging dollars and sending money down to us to help us feed people who really were in a horrible situation, doesn't get you close to where they were. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to ever have to be in that situation, but man, you sure feel good that you were able to help folks out of it. And I think this group took great pride in that opportunity to give back a little bit. One of our ethical principles is a commitment to our communities. And I don't know how better to demonstrate that than helping people who've lost absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. And so that was a tremendous, from my perspective, a tremendous positive for us. It wasn't something you planned to do, and it's something we hope we don't ever have to do again. But it literally within days, hours of the first storm hitting Shawnee, and then the storms that hit more the next day, we already had plans in place for what we could do and how we could do it and where we could go. And the ability to respond in that fashion, I'm extremely pleased of what our staff is at the Oklahoma Port Council, what our board and our membership said, hey, this is important to us, and let's go make this happen. We've got some exciting new things coming as well as we look into the future. We're going to have this new movie coming out, the Farmland film, and you've seen and heard people talking about that. I think you can look it up online at farmlandfilm.com and catch the trailer. But really a look at modern agriculture. And as we get further and further removed from the farm, generations removed now, you know, I remember when we talked about being two generations removed, and I don't know that two gets us to where we are in terms of removed from the farm today. This is going to be a film that really showcases what life is like on a farm today. And it's not just a contemporary hog farm or commercial hog farm. It's all kinds of agriculture. There's, you know, from crops to vegetables to livestock. And the public's going to get an opportunity to meet these people and understand what goes on. Because at the end of the day, the average farmer is not any different than the average car salesman or the average, you know, pharmacist or the average whatever it may be. They work every day. They get up. They go care for their animals. They go care for their land, their crops, their families. They have the same issues at home that everybody else does. And I haven't seen the film, okay? All I've seen is the trailer. Right. But what I understand is this is really going to showcase that these are just average, everyday people that have the same problems that everyone else has. And really, I think, put a face back on agriculture. And that's really where we've got to get to address some of these other issues you mentioned at HSUS and others. I mean, that's how you address that is folks have got to believe that they share a set of common values with the folks that are feeding them. And putting a face on that, sharing what our problems and concerns are, that's the way you connect with everybody. When they think you've got the same issues they do, even if they're about paying for my tractor as opposed to paying for my car, whatever it may be, I think that registers with people. And so I've got high hopes for this. And all of agriculture in Oklahoma is coming together to really promote this film in the state and to invite some key decision makers from across the state, key influencers, not legislators per se, but influencers, people that influence where the state goes on direction and that, to come see this and really learn about modern, what I'd call contemporary agriculture. Very excited about what that holds as well.
I guess it comes at a good time because we got obviously folks like Chipotle that are taking some big whacks at us.
Yeah, I don't know what you do with folks who believe that the way they improve their, you know, you've dealt with this since you were a little kid. There was always that one classmate who the way they made themselves feel better was they put everybody else down. And essentially, we're seeing folks run marketing campaigns that instead of talking about what they're doing right, they want to talk about what everybody else is doing wrong. And to me, if I've got a great product and I want to sell you a great product, I don't get ahead in the game by telling you how bad everybody else is. I get ahead in the game by telling you how good I am at what I do. And unfortunately, we see too much conflict within agriculture even, where this group says, because I use this product or I don't use those products, mine is better than yours. I actually had a guy come in, was visiting with the other day, who told me he'd grown up in Iowa, and he just was convinced that buying a pig from the farmer down the road was healthier than going to the supermarket and buying it. And I said, if you want to say it makes you happy and you feel better about yourself by buying it from the farmer down the road versus the grocery store, great. But it's not any healthier for you. There's no difference in what you get from the meat in terms of vitamins, in terms of minerals, in terms of sustenance. There's no difference in any of that. If it makes you feel better, great. And you want to pay that premium? Outstanding. I am all for it. But don't do it because you think it's a better product or that it's healthier, because those claims simply aren't accurate. And so we've got to figure out how, as a group, to stop differentiating ourselves by putting others down. And agriculture as a whole, if we get fragmented into this whole, I'm better than you because you do these things wrong, not I'm better because I'm giving a customer what they want or whatever it may be, that creates real challenges for us in all of agriculture.
Well, last question, state level. We're a couple, 3 weeks now into the legislative process. We're starting to see bills fall off rapidly now. What priorities are still out there for the Oklahoma Pork Council for livestock?
Well, as we talked about in our legislative update today, we've been trying to figure out how to address, I'm going to say, a property tax issue. We've got some challenges where we've got property taxes being assessed and valued at different rates from county to county, essentially the same properties, but one county does them one way, one county does them another. And that creates real inconsistencies for folks that might be doing business in multiple counties. It makes it hard for you to call your colleague and say, hey, what do you think, how's property taxes going to be assessed on this for me to plan for them as we go forward? And what we're looking for is a way for them to just be more uniform. We're not saying more or less, whatever. We'd like them to be more uniform as we go. And what we found is that we've got this huge can of worms of how everything's all intertwined together, and unraveling that is going to take a lot more time than we really thought it was. We're going to spend some more time on that this session. I don't know if we'll get anything done with it or not. It may be a bigger piece than we can actually do in this window. We've seen a number of bills that have come out from HSUS, from the animal rights community, that we consider to be threats to agriculture. So far, we've been able to address all those threats and either eliminate them or modify them where they don't have an impact on agriculture any longer, and I think all those things are very positive. As we look down the road, there's more of that coming. We're still waiting. We know that there's a bill out there at some point, probably to have a freedom to farm or a right to farm amendment protecting modern farming and ranching ballot question. We haven't seen that go anywhere yet, but we know that it's hanging out there. Is it going to move forward? So there's still a lot of pieces to go. We just passed the Senate deadline last week. House deadline, I think, is next week for bills in committee. And once you get through the committee process this first 4 weeks, 5 weeks of session, then you really can put those things behind you, and you eliminate 85% of the bills probably don't ever get out of committee. And so you can really set them aside, and then you can focus on where the real heavy lifting's yet to go.